This is Jay Sekulow. Breaking news. Pastor Naren released from India and back in the United States. And we're going to give you an update on the new stimulus package.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody, we've got some breaking news. It's a great way to actually start the broadcast, and that is I am very, very happy to report that Pastor Naren, who had been in jail originally in India, then was released, but they still would not let him leave the country, has now been released and returned to the United States. In fact, he may be getting off the plane in just moments and may be able to be with us. So this is a big, big day for our legal team. Cece Heil leads the team that deals with the persecuted church, and they did, she did, and her team did just an incredible job. And I have to also say the administration did a great job as well. I want to thank the president, the secretary of state. We're going to thank other people as well in the administration that stayed on this case since the beginning. But a special thank you also to Cece for really hard work. These are, you got to understand something. When you're dealing with a case like this, you're talking about a time difference. It could be 12 hours. So, you know, what we're looking at during the day is work. She's having to do at midnight at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. Believe me, I know because I've received emails and we've talked before about late in some of these cases. That's just kind of the nature of the way it goes. Having said all of that, let me again stress how important it is, even as we talk about all these other issues, for you to understand that the work of the American Center for Law and Justice continues to go on these other really critical issues. And these are, look, these are critical issues. The persecuted church here was an American. Sometimes it's not. We still have the case in China, other cases as well, of course, in Africa. Our offices around the globe continue to work remotely, but are, as you can tell, continuing to work and continuing to get results. We're also going to talk about the stimulus package, and I want to go right up to Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. Than, yeah, tell me what it's looking like, but I'm seeing a lot of money. I'm not sure it's going to the people.
No, it's not, Jay. I mean, this new package that the House passed last week on Friday, the price tag is estimated at $3 trillion. I have been through the entire 1,800-page bill. Not read every word, Jay. It's too long for that, just time-consuming. But I've gone through all of the top-line summaries, and I will tell you, I think $3 trillion is an underestimate of how much this will cost. It is basically a veritable wish list from the left. We can get into some of the more egregious amounts. It's going to be billed, Jay, as a coronavirus stimulus response. It is not that. It is a greater dependency on the federal government wish list from James Clyburn and Speaker Pelosi. There are two bright spots, though, and that comes in the form of President Trump and Leader McConnell already saying they will not take this up. But I will tell you, Jay, I mean, you know how this works. The House moving on a package like that, this actually makes the negotiations over a stimulus that might be needed even more difficult. So as we get into some of the line items in this bill, I think people are going to be shocked at what is in it. It narrowly passed the House. It now sits in the Senate. Leader McConnell says he will not take it up, but that's where we stand on phase five, I guess you will call it, of the COVID stimulus.
The stimulus, and we'll go through the details of this. A lot of it in the back half hour of the broadcast. We'll be joined by Professor Harry Hutchison. But if you're just joining us, we've got really great news. I don't know if we have Cece Heil with us yet. I think we're going to have her after the break. But we do have Cece. Let's Cece first, but we only got a minute here. Give me your initial reaction when you got the word, and then we'll talk more about it after the break.
I'm absolutely thrilled. It was a miracle. We had to get a judge in India to come in when all the courts were closed. And so this was just such a big miracle. And for Pastor Naren to be back home on U.S. soil is just amazing. I'm thrilled.
Yeah, so are we. Great job for you, a great job for your team. I know we had a lot of help in the administration, too. We're going to get into all that when we come back from the break. But, hey, great way to start the broadcast for sure, no doubt about that. We're going to take a break when we come back. We're going to take your calls on this, on the stimulus. 1-800-684-3110. 800-684-3110. We'll take your calls. And don't forget, support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. You can do that at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. to support the ongoing work of the American Center for Law and Justice. And stay engaged with us on Twitter and on Facebook. We encourage you to stay involved in our social media. And if you're watching on Facebook, share it with your friends. We'll be back with more in a moment.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Very, very excited to tell you what has happened, and that is Pastor Nairn is free, and we have the pastor on the phone with us right now. You must have just gotten off the plane.
Yeah, I just got off the plane about an hour ago, Jay.
So, Pastor, we had 200,000 people sign the petition for your release, praying for you. Of course, CC Heil working tirelessly on your effort. Explain to people what happened. I mean, you were over there doing mission work. Explain everybody what happened. I think hearing from you would be great.
Yeah, I'd be glad to do it. I just want to say thank you to all those people, though. Thousands and thousands of people praying kept me alive and kept me going, especially Cece. I talked to her almost every day for the last 7 months. There were dark times when she bailed me out and talked me through it. So I appreciate all the prayers and everything everybody did. October the 3rd, I left Nashville going to India on the way to Nepal. A friend of mine in India was receiving a party and an award for 25 years of children's service. So I was going through India to do that for 3 days and then on to Nepal, where I've been going for 20 years. I went through the airport and customs one in the morning. It was during their festival, so there was very few people working there. Couldn't find customs agents. Finally got to a security agent. We checked in with him. Declared the money, talked to four different people about the amount of money that I had with me. They cleared me to go to Bagdogra, which was another airport. When I reached Bagdogra, they were waiting for us right outside the plane, took us into custody. And the original problem and the original concern they had in Delhi was, are you a Christian and are you going to see Christians? And, of course, it's a huge story that I can't tell all, but I was arrested in Bagdogra, spent 6 days in an Indian prison, because I was coming to meet Christians in India. Mm. It eventually turned into this whole thing about the money, but in the beginning, it was just Christians and Christians. Me being a Christian pastor, going there to meet with Christians. And, of course, they built all kinds of stories and legal things about I was there.
They always do.
To conversion.
They always do.
The money was there. I was taking the money to build an orphanage and many, many, many different details. One of the customs guys made it simple to understand. He said, we have been ordered by the central government to crush Christianity, to stop you Americans from bringing money here, and to eliminate Christianity. And we're going to do that.
Mm. So, CC, we have handled, CC, we've handled a lot of these cases over the decades, really, and even in the last couple of years. And there's always, it's always about the faith. It's always about Christianity. And then the turnaround is, and it's certainly the case here, was then they try to turn it into some kind of criminal action.
Absolutely. They can't admit that, you know, it's persecution of Christians or religion, so they spin it. And, you know, the charges that they brought against Pastor Nairn were complete sham. There was no way that he could be guilty of what they had charged him with. And they knew it from the very beginning. And, you know, we're just so blessed because, like you said, Jay, you know, this administration and the president deserves our thanks for sure, because they make U.S. citizens a priority. And then we have other people that I do need to thank as well. The National Security Council Senior Director for International Religious Freedom, Sarah Macon, Senator Marsha Blackburn, and Senator James Lankford and their staff, they all worked with us tirelessly in the mornings, early mornings, late nights, weekends, holidays. And then, of course, Ambassador Juster, Consul General Parker, Senator Alexander, Representative DeJarlay, Representative Heiss, and Representative Green, they were all champions for this cause and deserve
our
thanks.
This was a cause to be a champion for. And Pastor, what was your reaction when finally on that Friday the judge came in and you got the order? We were able to get the order through the council, the Indian council that was hired. What was your reaction?
Cautiously optimistic. I had been to court five times over 6 months and was supposed to be released to come home every time to bring up another charge or another twist. And those last few days were that way. I was supposed to meet the judge on Monday. Judge didn't show up. Supposed to meet him again on Tuesday. The customs people didn't show up. And then on the third day, finally they all came together and didn't have the right documents and had to go back to court on Friday. And when they did release me, I thought, well, this will be another trick or a twist, because they tricked me and tricked me and tricked me and robbed me and robbed me. And finally, the release, I'm still waiting for it.
Well, you've only been on the ground a couple of minutes, so it takes a little while to sink in that it's the ordeal's actually done. But look, you remain strong. We appreciate that. We appreciate you calling in. And again, it was our privilege and honor to have represented you in this unbelievable situation that unfortunately is happening. Well, what's the situation? I was going to ask you this also, Pastor, while I have you. What's the situation for the? You mentioned that the immigration customs people were saying our job is now to crush Christianity. What is the situation on the ground for Christians in India? We have an office in Pakistan, Lahore. We don't have an office in India. So we know what's going on in Pakistan for Christians. What about India?
India's Christians are being persecuted regularly. When President Trump was in India, there's lots of news about the Muslim massacre that happened in Delhi. But on that same weekend, 200 Christian pastors were killed. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Christian pastors and their wives were taken out of their house, tied to a tree in the front yard while President Trump was there, and was beaten. They burned some of their houses and burned tons of their churches, but they're killing them. They're doing everything they can to drive them out of the country. It's a very, very hostile, very, very complicated place to be a Christian.
Well, Pastor, we're glad that you've ministered there, and we're really glad that you're back home with your family. Thank you for your ministry. We appreciate it so much. Thanks for being with us, Pastor.
Thank you for everything y'all have done. It's been a great help.
Thank you. CeCe, I want to tell you something from all of us. I know how hard you worked on these cases, and I don't know if you were on earlier when I said the hours. Seems like every one of these we get, it's usually a 12-hour time difference. And I know this was a lot of late nights and a lot of hopes and then dashes. And it was as complicated as any we've done. I'm thinking about Syed Abedini's case out of Iran, Pastor Brunson out of Turkey, all have their unique aspects. What was the unique one here? Here it was another one where we had a U.S. ally.
Yeah, it was really discouraging because, like I mentioned, the charges that were actually brought against him factually could not be. So to be guilty of evading a duty, the duty that you evaded had to exceed $50,000. The duty you exceeded. And the duty here we were talking about was $3,000 or less. So according to the straight language of their own law, he could not have been arrested. He could not have been put in jail. He could not have had his passport taken away or been detained for the 7 months that he was detained. But we never got a chance to put forth our side ever. Not even in a fake way where, you know, I think in Brunson we were able to present it and, you know, it wasn't taken or it was just dismissed, but we were never able to bring that fact up that there's no way that he could, you know, that any of this was right. And I think that was the most frustrating thing. And then again, like we, you know, see in all these cases, they'll have a day in court and then the next one will be a couple of months and the next one will be a couple of months. And in this case, Pastor Nairn's next court date would have been September. So the next date we would have had, if he would have stayed there, he would have been over there for almost a full year without ever being able to present his defense, which was a perfect defense.
You know, I'm gonna say this again. I'm gonna quickly go to we're taking your calls, by the way, at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110, and we'll talk about this. We're gonna talk about the stimulus. Harry Hutchinson will be joining us in the back half hour, but we'll talk about this for another segment as well. We'll get into it in more detail coming up. I'm gonna take a call when we come back from the break, but talk about the work that you coordinated, UNCC coordinated on Capitol Hill. That's a very important component to this.
Yeah, there are always two very important components to these cases, Jay. One, of course, is the participation of ACLJ members. 200,000 of them were participants in this case. But sometimes the publicity of these cases will be more or less depending on what is needed in a given situation, Jay. But what you always need is the unified voice of the United States government. And you heard CC allude to this. This administration has done this better than any previously, and it starts at the very top. President Trump has made this a priority. He has instructed the vice president to make it a priority. He instructed Ambassador Brownback to make it a priority. So really all levels of the U.S. government, Jay, know that this is something the United States is going to put an emphasis on, even when it means, you know, economic talks or other things might take a back burner, so to speak. They are going to focus on bringing American citizens and wrongfully held prisoners home. And that was the case in this situation. And I agree with Cece. Having Pastor Nairn's family come to the United States Senate and meet with the senators, put a face in front of a story and in front of a person, in front of decision maker, Jay, makes all the difference in the world.
I don't think there's any question. And Dan, thank you for your hard work, too. Thank you, Cece. We're going to have another segment on this. We'll take your calls. 800-684-3110. If you ever thought about supporting the work of the American Center for Law and Justice, this would be a really good day to do it. These are the kind of cases that we are handling literally every single day. We've got plenty of them. And we're getting good results. You've got to have patience. CC certainly has, and she's developed a good team. Fan's done an incredible job with our Office of Government Affairs being involved. So sometimes we have our European Center for Law and Justice involved in these cases as well. So we utilize all of our resources. Support the work of the ACLJ. You could do that at aclj.org. We'll be back with more, including your phone calls, at 1-800-684-3110.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. If you're just joining us, we've got great news. Pastor Naren has been returned to the United States. Actually, you heard from him a few minutes ago. We just had a great piece that played for our friends on viewers on Facebook and Periscope that our media team put together. It's a really strong piece. So we're going to play that at the end of this segment or near the end of this segment. It kind of gives you an overview of the case very quickly in everybody's voice. We got an interesting, I'm going to go read it here. We got an interesting Facebook question. Thanks, or actually a praise report. Thanks be to God for Pastor Naren's freedom. Thank you, Jay and ACLJ, for working so hard to bring him home. Well, I have to turn around and say thank you to CC Highland Fan Bennett for working so hard to bring the pastor back home and to their teams who worked diligently on this issue to get this pastor released. And again, a huge thank you. We talked about the impact this is having. Let me take a call. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. By the way, in the back 30 minutes, we're going to talk about another issue, and that is another stimulus package. There's a lot to talk about on that one. We'll get to that in the back half hour. If you want to talk about that and have questions about it, you can call us also at 800-684-3110. Let's go to Robert. He's calling from Maryland. Hi, Robert.
Yeah, hi. How you doing, Jay? I wanted to ask you if you could give us an even more in-depth in a thorough update on the work that the ACLJ is doing for persecuted Christians worldwide. It's great news about Pastor Naren. I thank God that he was released from India and he's back home in the United States of America. Brief side note before you answer, Jay. India's goal is to become a Hindu nation. And so that's why they are working so diligently to stamp out and eradicate Christians. I mean, completely obliterate Christianity altogether from India. I think in less than 3 years, according to the USA Open Doors report, they went from either 21st or 18th in worldwide persecution to 11 in about 3 years. That's how severe
now
the persecution has become.
They've actually gone up to number 10. Yeah. So it's, no, Robert, you're right. And CC, this has been a really significant problem in India. But let's talk about it, more of a global aspect of it. I want to start with CC first, and I'm going to let Dan talk about it as well. We've been working on persecuted church issues for persecuted people of faith for a very long time, CC. So this is not new to the ACLJ. We've been doing this for a long time. But talk about the scope of it. We've got cases literally all over the globe.
Yes, and you know, I kind of separate our work into two distinct areas. One, where we actually have clients, like where we can take clients in Pakistan, where we can take clients like Pastor Brunson or Pastor Naren, which is great. But we also constantly have a general practice where we work with the United Nations. You know, we are an NGO through our European Center for Law and Justice. And so we are constantly doing research, drafting reports, putting the specific atrocities that are happening before these international bodies and pushing for action. We take action directly, even with some of the governments. We will send letters and updates, but we constantly monitor and track this. We update our State Department. We update administration as we get information, you know, with countries like Nigeria and all the devastation that's going on there, and with Leah Sharabu, and just it doesn't end in China and all over Africa, you know, Middle East, wherever it is, we are bringing attention to it and trying to demand justice and protection for these religious liberties.
Yeah, let me go to, thank you, Cece. Let me go to Fan Bennett, who's our Director of Governmental Affairs and also our designated representative to the United Nations. We fought long and hard to get that recognition at the UN. I will tell you that I worked on that with the team for 3 years and multiple appearances before the UN General Assembly. We got it. We persisted, and we knew this would be one of the reasons why we needed it. But then I wanted to hear from you on this because you've been to the UN with CC and others. How you know, when you look at it both congressionally, domestically, and internationally, your portfolio includes both Congress and the United Nations.
Yeah, and the advocacy at those two places looks very different, Jay. I mean, I will tell you, our designation at the United Nations has been critically important on these issues, but let me just describe each of them a little bit. At the United Nations, you're typically pushing the rock uphill, and I think CC described it very well. When you're not talking about a specific case here, you're talking about advocacy on a macro level. At the United Nations, many times, Jay, you're just trying to get them to not do the wrong thing, to not applaud the human rights abuses that are happening. We file what are called UPRs, Universal controversial periodic reviews of countries on a regular basis and point out where countries are doing the wrong thing and try to get the United Nations to focus on those areas. Here domestically, Joe Jay, our advocacy has really changed under this administration. I mean, it was very difficult previously to get administrations to be willing to set either economic considerations or maybe trade considerations, not to the side, but also to inject human rights concerns and specifically Christian persecution into the mix because they didn't want to upset the apple cart on those other issues. Jay, that has turned 180 degrees, and this administration has actually wanted to come to us and to others and insert those issues into it. So at the United Nations, you're sort of pushing the rock uphill. Now, Jay, in the United States, when you're advocating domestically, it's just making sure that they have the information they need because, quite frankly, they're eager to focus on these issues when they go overseas, and that's a very welcome change from our perspective.
100%. And Than, again, you really appreciate your efforts on this. Hey, I want to play that video that we played for our friends on Facebook and Periscope. The sound on it's important, too. It'll really give you the sense of the importance of this victory.
Tennessee pastor Brian Nairn, who has a ministry that is aside from his church that's been working in India and Nepal for 17 years without issue, training Sunday school teachers. He was traveling to India on a recent trip in October, actually, and he gets detained. But because of your support at the American Center for Law and Justice, we were able to bring Pastor Nairn's wife to Washington, D.C. to meet with the two leading U.S. senators in Tennessee, Marsha Blackburn, Lamar Alexander, as well as Oklahoma senator and a real champion for religious liberty around the globe, James Lankford. That's because of your support that we're quickly able to mobilize and get the pastor's wife there.
When you actually have a family member that's sitting down with the senators, with the State Department, it totally changes the dynamic because it makes it personal.
At the end, I said, you know, hopefully you will never have to go through this. And when I said that, the looks on their faces was like,
yeah,
you know, this is real.
Right.
This is real stuff.
India, unfortunately, has moved up the list of countries persecuting Christians to number 10 in some of the list that track the countries that do persecute or who aren't doing enough to stop local and state regional governments from persecuting Christians.
It is my privilege and honor to let you know today that Pastor Nairn has been released.
I want to say thank you for all of the prayers and all of the love and all the concern you've had for my family and for me. Your prayers have been touching heaven, and the Lord has been pouring out those blessings and power back on me, and I've been able to be strong and healthy and do well. Thank you, and I'll see you soon.
Your support makes a critical difference, so thank you for joining with us. Thank you for standing with us as we seek to proclaim freedom and liberty here in the United States and around the globe. Well, what a great result and a great way to start the day here at the American Center for Law and Justice. If you want to support the work of the ACLJ, it's cases like this that make all the difference. Go to aclj.org and you can donate online. Stay engaged with us on Facebook and Periscope and all of our social media platforms. We encourage you to do this. But what a great day of victory. Now, next half hour, we're going to completely switch topics. Next half hour, a new stimulus package. Sounds like a good idea, but is it? We're going to have Harry Hutchison joining us, Van Bennett. We're going to give you a real analysis of what's in this particular stimulus package that's being proposed and what you're going to see, how you're going to see it being negotiated. So a lot to talk about there. But again, I'm glad Pastor Nairn's home. Thank you for all of our ACLJ members, over 200,000 of you signing that petition for his release. We appreciate it. He's home. God gets the glory. We'll talk to you in a moment.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, if you're just joining us, we just had great news in the first half hour of the broadcast. The Pastor Naren now back in the United States, returning for freedom, which is great news. CeCe Holland and Van Bennett did a fantastic job in representing him and his family, and he is home. We had him on earlier from the United States. So that case is now one that we can put in our closed column. And for those that are part of our Be Heard project, another great victory here for the persecuted church, and we're thrilled that the pastor is home. Pray for the Christians in India. He gave you the situation. CeCe Than talked about it. Very difficult over there right now. I want to move topics, though. The stimulus, $3 trillion stimulus proposal has been introduced. Than, before we get into the specifics, let's talk about the process. It is now passed the House, but what was the process going into it? People think there's still need for more economic stimulus, which I understand, but this one's very different.
Well, and if you look back at the previous efforts to provide that stimulus, Jay, the negotiations had always involved three parts. They'd involved the administration, usually Secretary Mnuchin, but someone inside the administration. It involved the United States Senate and the United States House, and you arrived at a package that maybe wasn't perfect, but everyone could pass and they could get enacted, and relief could get to the American people and to the small businesses that need it. That did not happen in this case, Jay, and I will tell you, just on process, just that simple fact alone makes what the House did last week more of a political document than anything. They are going to call it coronavirus stimulus, but Jay, in order for it to be stimulus, it has to be able to get enacted into law, and this has exactly zero chance of getting enacted to law. So people might ask, okay, well, why don't you just ignore it? You don't ignore it, Jay, for two reasons. Number one, this presents a significant impediment to getting the real stimulus that is needed, and right. Number two, it is a political document that will show you where the left in Washington, D.C., specifically Speaker Pelosi, wants to go if they are the ones that are able to write legislation that can get enacted. So, Jay, you can't afford to ignore this stuff. You've got to go through it and point out what's in it.
Now, this is a $3 trillion proposal. Let me say that again. A $3 trillion proposal. Now, it passed on pretty much a party line vote. I think one Republican vote in four, Fan.
Yeah, that's right. The final vote was 208 to 199. One Republican, Peter King from New York, voted for it. Interestingly enough, though, Jay, 14 Democrats did vote against it. There was sort of a mix of rationale there, of some from the far left who thought, believe it or not, that the price tag was not high enough, and then others who recognized that much of it was unrelated to the coronavirus. But let me just tell you this, Jay, and I know you're going to get into some of the specifics, but let me just give you one teaser. One of the things that they found so pressing to do in this piece of legislation was make sure that Planned Parenthood, with their 16,000 employees, could get access to that Paycheck Protection Program that is being depleted. So pull money away from small businesses and give it to Planned Parenthood. That's in the bill.
And they did that because Planned Parenthood is such a large organization, it really did not qualify. So now they're trying to break it up into affiliates. Having said that, there is the portion in there, though, Than, that talks about funds for individuals. Again, another stimulus check.
Yeah, that's right. Inside this package, Jay, there would be another round of direct checks to Americans to the tune of $1,200 per individual. And actually, a child inside a family would also get the $1,200, up to a maximum of $6,000 per family. Here's what I would tell you on that piece, Jay.
So it's more than the last
one,
actually, right?
Yeah, but I think that kind of idea, that concept, there might be some changing in the numbers, but I think that would be received inside the administration and the United States Senate for negotiation. If that were the centerpiece, Jay, I think we could have progress. That is nowhere near the centerpiece. That is a drop in the bucket compared to the $3 trillion of wish list items that overwhelm it inside this bill.
All right, we're going to get into this at length. Harry Hutchison, our Director of Policy, is going to be joining us. We're taking your calls. What do you feel about this next stimulus package? It's got a portion in for American citizens. It's got, that's in there, bigger than the last one, but there's also a lot of other stuff. We want to hear what you have to say about it. How would you like it handled? Our phone lines are now wide open for you at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We want to know your view on this and questions you may have on how it would work. Again, 800-684-3110. Back with more, including Professor Hutchison, in just a moment.
Thank you.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Hey, welcome back. A $3 trillion proposal. If you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, we encourage you to share this with your friends. This is chock full of information. I'm going to go to Harry Hutchison first. Just first, Harry, we're going to take it. We got a lot of calls coming in again, 800-684-3110. But kind of give me your overview of what you see here.
Jay, the new House Democrat bill, introduced last Tuesday and passed last week, has very little to do with the coronavirus and much to do with the Democrats' tyrannical pursuit of power and their attempt to micromanage the lives of American citizens and to put illegal immigrants ahead of American citizens.
I mean, think about that one for you. Think about that one for a minute. What Harry just said—that the order of priority. Now, this bill is 1,819 pages, $3 trillion. The summary is 90 pages. My goodness, our summary was long. It was very good, by the way. Our team did an excellent job of putting together a much more abbreviated version of the summary. But you can imagine what this is like. But Fan, it's almost 1,850 pages.
Yeah, it's really impossible to summarize, Jay. I mean, you mentioned it, but 90 pages is what it took the Democrat Appropriations Committee staff to summarize the bill. So it's almost impossible to go through and pull out what I would call the worst parts of it. And let me describe worst, Jay. Some of these ideas might be ones that you or our listeners would agree with. But what you said is the important point here. If you're going to spend a dollar on something, it means you're not spending it on something else. We don't have an infinite amount of dollars. And in the middle of this crisis, I think it's pretty apparent where dollars are needed. It would be to assist the American people and to assist those businesses that have been forced to close their doors for a period of time as we fight this pandemic. So if, by the way, you're just going to pull $71 million out and give it to the Fish and Wildlife Service, or you're going to pull $410 million out and give it to the Census Bureau, Jay, that is $71 million and $410 million that you are not giving to the American people and you're not giving to small businesses that have had to shutter their doors. So your point is the correct one. The prioritization in this bill is the most offensive part of it, Jay. They are putting government entities and centralization of government power ahead of addressing the needs of this pandemic.
I'm going to go ahead and take a phone call. Gwen's calling from Washington, D.C. Gwen, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, and thanks so much for all that you guys do. I'm outraged, to say the least, this, as Sam just said, this money has to come from somewhere, and I don't know why people aren't realizing it's just coming from the taxpayers later in the future, and it just, it's not going to work, and I don't know why the politicians aren't realizing that. The more money the deeper we go in debt.
Yeah, look, this is, part of this is politics, part of this is there's need, but the need is not, unfortunately, this is not, they call it the Heroes Bill, which is a clever name, and it's, and we sure have, I'm sure, have a lot of heroes, including our frontline medical workers, but this is a lot more than a Heroes Bill, and I want to be clear on this. I want you to listen to what Nancy Pelosi actually said about this. She knows those numbers are big.
It's important to note that everything, sounds like a big number, but everything that we have in the state and local column there is less than the Republicans put in their tax scam to give 83% of the benefits to the top 1%.
So really, this is, Harry, an attack on tax cuts. Sounds like to me.
It is. It's also a form of income redistribution. So as Nancy Pelosi attempts to bail out largely bankrupt states like California and Illinois, who have not been able to manage their pension fund, she has also introduced a provision whereby there would be a tax cut largely for upper middle class and wealthy citizens in California, New York, New Jersey, and Illinois, whereby they would be able to deduct their property taxes against their income. So on one hand, she basically has put illegal immigrants ahead of Americans, but on the other hand, she's also putting rich Americans ahead of working class Americans who need jobs. Consider this, Jay. Under the bill, as I understand it, even though a significant number of Americans in the healthcare industry have been laid off, Nancy Pelosi would declare illegal immigrants essential workers, and they would be able to take those jobs under her particular proposal. This makes no sense. And in addition to all of that, of course, she's expanding the ability of the abortion industry to gain federal funds and expanding the market share for marijuana. So, again, at the end of the day, this does not make any sense at all.
You know, we got a great question came in from Edwina on Facebook. And I'm going to give this to Than. I'm reading it. It says, is this just another attempt by Pelosi at using taxpayer dollars for abortion? Now, you briefly discussed that in the first segment, but I think, Than, it's worth to take a look at. What are we talking about here?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, Jay. It's actually pretty breathtaking. As I went through the bill and others on Capitol Hill went through the bill to try to find all of the accounts in which current taxpayer protections for funding of abortion were either removed or new accounts were added without protections like the Hyde Amendment, which protect taxpayers from providing money for abortion. As I went through all of them and we tried to compile all of the accounts where those protections were lacking, Jay, they're more than $1 trillion. So more than a third of this bill and probably more than half, if you're able to do an exhaustive search, include funding that are not protected by provisions like the Hyde Amendment. So that means Planned Parenthood and others would be able to access these funds. It means that U.S. taxpayer dollars to the tune of at least $1 trillion could be accessed by the abortion industry. And Jay, just to kind of put that in perspective, that is against status quo. Status quo is that U.S. taxpayers do not spend for abortion. So, you know, again, they're going to call this coronavirus stimulus or a coronavirus response. I think it's very fair to say it's a massive bailout of the abortion industry, and we've seen it before. Basically, every major bill that Speaker Pelosi puts out, Jay, it has this kind of accounting gimmicky in it to favor the abortion industry.
Let's go to Janet's calling from New Jersey. If you've got questions, 1-800-684-3110. There is another stimulus check in there. In the next segment, we're going to get into that in greater detail, 1-800-684-3110. And that may be a really good idea, except it's buried in an otherwise $3 trillion program, which I'm still trying to figure that one out. But let's go ahead and take Janet's call. Hi, Janet.
Hey, Jay. Thanks so much for taking my call. Anyway, sure. I'm calling from New Jersey, and I'm a gig worker, and I've been waiting since March 20th, when my business basically closed up because everybody was home. But I understood gig workers were supposed to get the $600 a week from the federal government. I've done everything I'm supposed to do, filing the unemployment. I even understood that I was to get some unemployment, even though I didn't put any in the fund. But it's March, the middle of May, rather, and I've not seen a cent. And the stimulus check I just got last week, and my question is, how on earth can we start talking about more stimulus checks when no one's following up to make sure that people are getting the money that they're supposed to get?
Well, I will tell you this, and Jen, I'm sorry you had a delay, but Dan will tell you this. This was a big undertaking that our federal government had to engage in a very short period of time. And they did a great job, I think, overall, Fan, in getting this. It was a very complicated matter.
Yeah, and there are two layers to this. First of all, the $600 that she's talking about in unemployment insurance, that's a state-based process. So she said she's from New Jersey. There have been some states that have struggled to process them on time. You know, New Jersey needs to get their act together because, quite frankly, if the federal government is going to provide that $600 per employee or that is filing for it, the state needs to come through with that. I agree with you on the processing of the stimulus, Jay. I mean, look, there was a massive undertaking. For instance, the Small Business Administration, who usually gives $30 million of loans out a year, was suddenly doing 10 times that. All told, Jay, were there some hiccups? Yes, but honestly, it went way more seamless than I expected it to.
And when we come back from the break, I want to get Harry's view on this other additional stimulus, and we're going to lay that out for you and what it means. But Harry, I've only got 30 seconds here. There are a lot of people, and we know this, that are really hurting. Unemployment's high, so personal stimulus in that regard may not be a bad idea as long as it's not buried in $3 trillion of other things that are not necessary.
Jay, you're absolutely correct. And I think that is the way to go, to move forward, to make sure the funds go to the American people who are hurting.
Well, we're going to talk more about that because I know that's a big concern to a lot of people that are listening to this broadcast, and we want to give you our suggestions on how we can move some of that forward. We're taking your calls. Last segment of the broadcast, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Our government affairs team working on the stimulus. Our international teams working to secure the release of Pastor Nairn. Your support of the ACLJ makes all of this possible, including bringing you this radio broadcast, or if you're watching on TV or our social media platform, 5 days a week. These days from various locations, as you can tell, but we are, our teams are technology, using all the technology we have to bring you this broadcast. We'll talk to you in a moment. Take your calls, 800-684-3110.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We, our team this morning put together a comprehensive list of what's in here. I want to just run through and read for you a couple of the highlights here. $500 billion for state governments, $375 billion for local governments, $20 billion for tribal relief, $20 billion for relief for territories, $3.6 billion for contingency planning on elections. Got to watch that one. $175 billion for housing and food supplementation. I understand that. $1.5 billion for broadband hotspots. $10 billion for SBA assistance. $25 billion for the Postal Service. $175 billion for public health and social service emergency fund. $5 million for the House to get laptops and get up to speed. $410 million for the Census Bureau, which right now I can imagine that that's got to be. Look, the Census is constitutionally mandated, but there's got to be, maybe electronically might be a way to do it. You're not going to be sending people knocking on doors. There's $125 million for National Science Program, $50 million for the Legal Services Corporation. For what exactly? I have no idea. $755 million for Washington, D.C. because of the impact of COVID. $40 million for the U.S. Geological Survey. $900 million for the Bureau of Indian Affairs. The Indian Territories have had really gotten hit hard with this. But, Harry, there's the list. And in that list, we're going to get into the personal side of it in a moment, but about the tip of the iceberg. Hopefully, we're going to have a blog up on this afternoon that'll give more information about this, and we will stay on top of it. But Harry, what do you? You're an economics expert. You're a law and economics professor. What do you think needs to be done in light of the situation that we have right now in the country?
Well, Jay, I frankly believe that we probably do need additional stimulus. But all additional funds, or the majority of additional funds, should be focused on going to the American people, particularly American workers who are hard hit. That is the most efficient way of improving the economic outlook going forward. It's important to note that if we send these funds, and some of the funds in the HEROES Act would be going to states, this simply means that you are propping up an already bloated bureaucracy in many cases. You're not demanding any efficiencies. And so I believe firmly that the American people are best positioned to decide for themselves where they want to spend the money rather than having it go through many of these states. So, again, if you look at one of the prior stimulus bills, which basically sent $1,200 to individuals who earned less than, I believe it was $150,000, and this might result in benefits of $5,000 to $7,000 for hardworking middle Americans. And then you would exclude, for instance, from this stimulus program, those individuals who indeed are wealthy or are continuing right to earn above average incomes. But the whole notion of funding, for instance, abortions, basically allowing prisoners to go scot-free, bailing out blue states, particularly poorly managed pension funds. Many of these things have no direct relationship to the coronavirus, and they don't have anything directly to do with the economic fallout that has come from the pandemic. So this is simply a Democratic Party wish list, and the American people should not bail out the Democratic Party.
Now, I'm going to play some sound fan of how Nancy Pelosi is pitching this. I think it's important to understand what the angle is, what the pitch is here. Take a listen, number 27.
Time is very important. We have lost time. But again, setting aside how we got here, we cannot take a pause. They may think it's okay to pause, but people are hungry across America.
hunger doesn't take a pause. People are jobless across mm-hmm. America. That doesn't take a pause. People don't know how they're going to pay their rent across the country. We have to address this with humanity.
So then my question is, then, and I'd like to know, I don't know if we can do the analysis on this, and maybe we can. I'd like to know how much of this is for stimulus for individual taxpayers in America, people that have lost their jobs or people that need supplements, and there are a lot of those. How much of the money is really for that? So explain what the supplement will be for individuals in this, if a portion of this were to go forward.
Yeah, so if this were to be enacted as written, Jay, the portion that would be stimulus directly to the American people is to the tune of $1,200 per adult and $1,200 per child, up to a maximum of $6,000 per family. So look, here's my main problem around this discussion. Jay, if that had been proposed, there would have been a discussion that ensued, because both the administration and the Senate had said something like that might be in the works and we might be closer to enacting it. But Jay, this immediately reminds me of the last time stimulus was passed for the American people. And this bill that I happen to still have on the studio desk here, which is thousands of pages long, is what Speaker Pelosi put out. What was the impact of that, Jay? And I know you remember this. It meant that those paychecks to the American people were delayed for 2 weeks. So what's going to be the impact of this wish list bill that comes out? It means that discussion that you and I just had about whether or not the American people need another check, Jay, it's going to be delayed. That debate will be delayed because this wish list from the left gets in front of it. So the important debate, the issue that might be needed, it just gets pushed back. So Speaker Pelosi's comment that you just paid there about timing, it's relevant, but she's got it backwards.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, you do need to respond at the speed of relevant. And we've got a crisis that's relevant right now and real. But Harry, we only got 2 minutes here, and give me about a minute and a half here. I want us to analyze this going forward and pull out what we think would be vital, and that is making sure that Americans are getting some form of stimulus to keep going through a very difficult period right now. Harry?
I think that's correct. And I think that the House and Senate can move forward in a bipartisan manner. But I think the huge obstacle to doing that, as Stan rightly points out, is Nancy Pelosi and the Democratic leadership. They essentially have decided that they are not going to allow this crisis to go to waste. Instead, they are going to use this crisis as a foundation for creating a quasi-socialist state. They are going to use this crisis to prop up the abortion industry. And so I think we need to focus on the basics. And the basics mean helping the American people who have lost their jobs, those that have been laid off. Those are the individuals that we need to focus on. And yes, we may need to add some more monies for hospitals with respect to their care for coronavirus patients. But we do not need to add all of this extraneous stuff. And I think it's important to keep in mind that many Democrats in the House, at least 13 of them, voted against this bill. And I think we should follow their example.
All right, Harry Hutchison, Director of Policy, American Center for Law and Justice. Fan Bennett, Director of Government Affairs for the ACLJ. And as we said at the beginning of the program, great news. Pastor Naren returned from India free. Charges dropped. Great job by CC Heiler and Fan Bennett and our entire international team. Of course, a huge thank you to the administration for arranging that. We'll stay on top of the stimulus situation. We're going to be evaluating all the other news that's coming ahead in the days and hours ahead. But again, support the work of the ACLJ. You can do that at aclj.org. If you enjoy this program, you help keep it on the air. aclj.org.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.